My name is Dewey Pascal, and I have seated before with me this afternoon on November 30th, 1988, this morning, pardon me, Mr. Lloyd Collins. And Lloyd, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
You know, the purpose of our interview simply is to, as we were just talking, to trace a little bit of the history insofar as your involvement in the arts is concerned in the Fargo Moorhead area. And we're going to do this very, very informally. And I am a really skilled interviewer, as you can tell already.
I recall that.
Having talked with me this little. But why don't we start, Lloyd, by asking you, where are you from originally?
Well, my home, I guess you can still say it's there, is at Page, North Dakota.
Page, North Dakota.
Yeah, about 50 miles from here.
That's up north, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And I guess your question, how did I get involved in the arts? We were fortunate in having excellent music teachers at Page. Started piano when I was age 5, and in a small town, what else is much to do outside of practice or playing athletics, something. But I started piano, I had an excellent teacher. I had her all the way from when I was 5 years old in the first grade. I was one of those that started early. And all the way up until high school, her husband was superintendent, so we got free break time. I got a lot of phi-ed by taking my piano lessons at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then played for the girls' glee club, the boys' glee club, mixed chorus.
You're a accompanist for all these groups.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then when I got in high school, the superintendent, who's my music teacher, Mrs. Sturch, was the wife, and they moved out of town. And then I was real fortunate to have one of her real fine students for high school. So all through high school I studied piano.
Mm. And do you recall the name of that teacher?
Sure, Marguerite Olson.
Okay.
And she was an excellent teacher. Mm-hmm. Then came down to college, and I got a scholarship, I think it was SAI scholarship.
At NDSU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
NDAC at that time.
Yeah, right. And so they said I could study with anybody that I wished to. And Paul J. Christensen was new in town. I knew he was a fine teacher, and so I chose to study with him. And
but he was at Concordia at that time.
Mm-hmm. So Most people, I don't think, are aware that he was a fine pianist.
I know that he aspired to be.
You know,
I,
yeah. And so when I went to him, he said, which composer do you dislike the most? I said, Bach. He said, that's because you don't understand him. And he was right. Mm-hmm. So that's all we studied, was Bach. And it was great, because now I have an appreciation for him. For some reason, I never studied a lot of Bach mm-hmm. in the other years. Then I started to play in the Powers Hotel. So I played there for 4 years.
Evenings, at the bar?
Noons, mm-hmm. and in the evening, and the late evening. They called it noon, dinner hour, and supper hour. Mm-hmm. And accompanied a lot of different singers, so I've had a lot of experience learning it the hard way there.
You worked with Peggy Lee by any chance?
Yes, mm-hmm. for 4 years. And so I guess you could say that's part of the art. And then went in the service, and although I was in the Signal Corps, we had our own regimental dance band, and did additional playing there. Also played for the chapel. In fact, that's how I met my wife. See, music has some real charms.
Chapel,
at Camp Crowder, Missouri.
Oh, is that right?
Her dad was chaplain.
Is that right?
And
I wonder, I noticed that integrity strain.
Right. And so we had a briefing when we went into basic, and we'd been over to the chapel, so I went over that night. Because when you play organ for about those 5 years that I actually played with the Powers, day in and day out, and then all of a sudden that's cut off, that's probably the thing you miss the most. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to know if I had played organ. I said, a little. And he said, where are you from? I said, Fargo. And he said, you know Joe Runsfold? Well, I said, who doesn't know Joe Runsfold? Well, he says he's a relative, and that's how the whole thing got started.
You'll have to excuse me, but I don't recall who Joe Runsvold is.
Hanson Runsvold Funeral Home.
Oh,
he bought
okay.
the one out from Paul Hanson.
I see. Uh-huh. So that's where you got your beginning on church organ, maybe?
Well, church organ. That's where I guess that's the first time. Well, I did start to play in church on a little reed organ up home.
You did? I was wondering if you'd had.
Yeah, because my granddad had played, my mother played, and then I took over and played. And that reed organ, I was home in my workshop all apart. I'm repairing it.
Hmm.
And so that's how I got my start there. In church organ, then I was married, came down, played in Plymouth Congregational Church for 13 years. And then I've been over at Olivet 30-some years as their organist. As far as formal training, I guess sort of grew like Topsy.
Mm-hmm. Olivet and Fargo, excuse me, you mean?
Yes, right.
The Olivet Lutheran.
And I've studied a lot of seminars with people like E. Power Biggs, if you want to toss names around,
mm-hmm.
Heinrich Fleischer. You can learn a lot from them because then the big thing is practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did study with George Wright on theater organ. And I asked him one time, I said, well, how do you work up some of this? Putting aside the idea that you do record sound on sound sometimes. He said, Lloyd, it's very simple. You practice, practice, and practice. That's how you learn it.
Now, excuse me, Lloyd, where were you when you were studying with Wright?
That was out in Fort Collins. It was a summer seminar.
Okay,
yeah.
I see. And these other people were like Fleischman and so on?
That would be down at the American Guild of Organists meeting or a private seminar, that type of thing, where the organists just gather.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's, you're the first to know that, I guess that's my, quote, formal training on the organ. I have wanted to play organ, though, ever since I was in the Ida Grasshopper. We'd go out to Seattle every summer and go to the theaters where they had the big Wurlitzers. And my aunt would take me, would see the stage show, the movie, and then stay for the second stage show with the organ. So I guess that's really where I got bit by the organ bug,
mm-hmm.
which would be a nice segue into the Fargo Theater.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
And our interest in that. I'm very fortunate because I've got the Fargo Theater organ. It's a big three-manual Wurlitzer that I can play. And I got the big three-manual Muller organ at Olivet Church.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. It's both music
mm-hmm.
and both different styles. You can emote more on the theater organ. All you can get some... they're both different purposes on each.
Yeah.
And I feel that with all of the church organists in town, we're contributing to the arts. It's
mm-hmm.
part of worship. With the theater organ, the other side, it's to the enjoyment of the people.
Right.
And that's, we'll take like our symphony orchestra, our dance companies, it's all for the better enjoyment and culture of our people in this area, which I think we've got a fabulous culture here.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I agree.
Yeah, well, here, you used to direct bands. I mean, the students that you've had that come through there, how you've bettered their lives just through music. We're both sold on music, but it's a medium where if you took it out of their lives, there would be a big blank space.
You bet.
And you've had the... I haven't been able to contact young people like you have, but when you taught, you had a rare experience, which I know you realized. Sometimes I'm sure you'd like to bounce their head against the walls, too, but you've given them something that nobody will ever take away from them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. Well, Ed, you have kind of covered and touched bases a little bit on lots of areas here, and I'd like to go back and cover again, if we could, in a little more detail. Before you graduated from NDSU. You
yep,
have a degree
I got a teaching
from NDSU.
Degree.
Yeah. Oh, you did go into
yeah.
But you never taught.
Well, I was going out to Napoleon, North Dakota. I practiced taught at Tower City.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And I was going out to Napoleon, North Dakota, and I had the signed contract in my pocket, and stopped by DeVoe Music just to see who was in there, because we spent a lot of time there. And DeVoe came up, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going out and teaching Napoleon, North Dakota. He said, you ever thought of going in the music business? And I said, well, what does it have to offer? And, well, he said, you spent so much time here, blank time, I won't fill in the other words, he said, I just thought you might be interested in going in the music business. So that's how I got into music.
Yeah, all the more talked you into it.
Yeah, very easily. In fact, I wanted to put a big smile on my face.
Napoleon wasn't altogether that attracted.
No, but you had to have a job.
Yeah. This would have been what year about?
Well, let's see. I figured I married 44 years ago.
44, okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I've enjoyed the music business. It's working with people. I guess that's a big thing.
Well, that's certainly been your forte. You've been associated with some music firm ever since still Ariette today.
Yeah.
And how long were you with DeBose?
8 years.
8 years, and then?
And we referred to that over at Nels Fogel as 8 years A.D. That's after DeBose. And that's another story.
Yes, it is. Okay.
But we're still in education. Mm-hmm. But in a different facet. You fellows, you were out on the battle line. We were more or less a supply depot. I'll never forget speaking at Tower City, or at practice taught. We had a little 15-piece band. You might appreciate this. The kids wanted to play something pop. Well, on that day, pop music was about the band played on. That was about as wild as it got. Uh-huh. So I got Paul Yoder's arrangement, took it out, played it. We were right below the library. And as the band played, it was bad, real bad, but you have to get through it. Like Bainham said, the main thing is to start and stop. So that was my project that day. And I saw this note coming down from up above, so I dismissed the band. I went over and read the note. It says, "Boy, does that band stink."
That was your introduction to music education.
But I like teaching. And then I've taught some privately on organ and percussion since then. I'm not doing any of that now.
During those 8 years at DeBose, you were your responsibility was as a salesperson for organs at that time, or?
Well, it was a little of everything, not much of anything, but it was good training.
Uh-huh.
I worked with the Chief Hendrickson in the music department. That was good training.
Yeah.
And then I was in the sales department for band instruments, and then I was in organ sales, and then I was window trimming.
So, well, you did get a basic
course. You learned a lot fast.
In the music industry, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Then after the 8 years at DeBose, that's when you moved to Vogels, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Vogels was located at that time at Comstock?
Yeah, we're back at Comstock.
Mm-hmm. And Moorhead.
That was, it was an exciting experience. Because knowing Nels as well as you did, you become involved with the industry.
Yeah.
More so than before. And you make a lot of fine friends. And here again, it's people like, you and I are both so-called retired, but where you've been with people all your life, you miss them. And that's one nice thing with going back to the store part-time, playing in church and playing in the theater, you're still with people. Mm-hmm. I did try complete retirement 1 month. I thought, nope, that's not for me.
You mean right after?
Right when I so-called retired from the store.
Uh-huh.
I lasted about a month, and I called up and I said, "You need a retread music sales." So that was it.
And which they wholeheartedly answered yes. Okay, well, then you were at Vogels, and then, as I recall, Lloyd, there was a time that you were back at DeBose, weren't you?
Or am I thinking? Was Chief.
Okay, Chief Hendrickson bounced back and forth.
In fact, when Chief went back, that's when the position opened.
Okay.
And
that's when you became.
I had two offers of jobs. The strangest thing.
One at Vogels
and one at Knox Music.
Oh, Knox.
Yeah.
Oh,
uh-huh. So.
And the piano department. Well, that's what their principal business was.
Right. But as far as the arts, through the community theater, I've been fortunate when we did West is a Land. Manny Marquette was an Indian in that show.
Is that right?
That's
what was the name of it?
West is a Land. Babe Scott did the whole thing. I wish we could do it again. Centennial year. It's a show. Frank Scott.
Oh, it's Frank's?
Yeah.
Oh.
All original music.
Is that right?
And played in the pit orchestra. Frank, for some reason, couldn't play. Hmm. And we presented that. Ice shows, that's part of our cultural environment around here. Played for ice shows.
Uh-huh.
I guess the older you get, I'm sure you find the same thing. You have associations with certain people, and it's a closeness.
You bet.
With the fellow that used to be in charge of, I think it was one of the business colleges, he wrote so beautifully. Well, they used to put on the ice shows. That's when they're more or less amateur shows. And when he passed away, I played for the funeral. And his wife wrote the nicest letter. In fact, it was the son that wrote the letter, but it was all in this fancy writing.
Oh, really?
I kept the letter.
Yeah.
It was,
where were those shows put on, those ice shows?
Those were in the old arenas where
the
swimming
Avalon?
Pool is. No, where the swimming pool is now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. There used to be a large building.
The arena, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you've had such a multifaceted career, Lloyd. You've been involved as a performer. You've been involved in the music industry. Another area that I know that you've been very involved in, I think still are, and that is with publishing, Music Publishers Association.
Oh, right? Yes.
What is the name of that organization?
Retail, RSMDA, Retail Sheet Music Dealers Association.
Okay. Aren't you some national officer in that?
Yes, I went through all the offices. I was executive secretary, treasurer, president, president-elect, vice president, and I'm happy to say this year that I am through with all the offices.
Yeah.
But it was, we had some nice trips out of it, and look at it that way, but you get to know the industry. You work with competitors, not that you are going to go to a publisher and say, hey, we'll buy X number of copies if you give us such and such a price. But there are lots of things in the industry that we have to work together to accomplish. Well, here, our relationship with music education. Are there better ways of doing it as an industry? Before, if we're a bunch of little dealers setting out here in different spots, we can each do our own thing, but are there certain things that we can do as a group to benefit music education? Because that is our main support, our lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, or at least 75% of the dealers that are in it, they're either former teachers or they have degrees in teaching, so they're still interested in music education.
Kind of a labor of love.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
And,
yeah.
And there really isn't. There isn't anybody really making a bundle on this business, is there?
No.
I mean,
well, that's the thing. I know in our business we hire some teachers that are looking for a job or interim job, and you can make a lot more in teaching, but there are certain aesthetic parts in teaching that you'll never get in the retail business. The total markup as far as profit nationally, this was about 5 years ago, we had a survey on your product, is 1.4%.
Is that right?
I was talking to a musician that used to work over at one of the grocery stores. He said, we try for 3.4.
Mm.
And that's working on volume. But you meet a nice group of people.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes people come in, not a lot of them, but you're working with John Q. Public.
Sure.
In anything that you do, you're working with people.
Yeah.
And if you don't like that, you better build a box about the size of this studio and lock yourself in and say that's it.
Well, Lloyd, you had perhaps a closer association with one of the, certainly one of the local musical giants in this community, Nels Vogel, than perhaps anyone else did. And I'd like to ask, if I may, what do you feel if there was any one point or one plus factor that Nels had, and I know that he had a batch of them, what was perhaps the strongest one that you felt may have contributed a great deal to maybe not just the arts but to music education in general?
Well, I think for the title that we use, Serving Music Education, he really felt a part of it, and just supporting music education and being part, well, like one of the spokes in the wheel of educating young people. He was sold on music. He always has been. Well, just like you and I are, and we'd do anything to help somebody get interested in music.
Mm-hmm.
I know all of your children are involved in that, and some of them professionally, and I can't think of your world or my world without music in it.
Yeah.
Now, there's people that get along without it, but we still have to have listeners, so if people don't play, we have to have good listeners.
Yeah.
It's a universal language. It's brought back many times when I was overseas. I was seated in the San Carlo Opera House, and I looked around, and here there were Turks with the bandanas around their head. There were Italians. There were Englishmen. There were Americans. Now, some of them, if we could understand, but some of them we couldn't. But we were all sitting there enjoying the same thing.
It's amazing how
the music, which it's a culture that bound us all together.
Yeah, it transcends political and social boundaries and barriers. Yeah, that's so true, and that's one of the great things about it, of course. Well, you've done an awful lot locally. I recall some years ago when I was the director of the Elks Band in Fargo, running across all kinds of materials and programs, former programs, that the Elks Purple Band was involved with and playing, and you were an integral part of that, as I recall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, at that time, we had a real fine band. We put on shows, and we went to the National. Mm-hmm. Our band came back with first place. Might add that there was only one other band competing. That band was, most of them, we figured that they probably should carry an oxygen tank with them. It was sad. And even when the marching, we got second place in marching, because there were only three places. The marching band did not enter the contest competition. And but we just came back. We told people we won first place, which we did. In fact, we won first place in 2 years running. We did our one contest piece was Orpheus, and we played that in the square, Rockefeller Center Square. And Bach was one of the judges.
Johann himself.
No. One of Bach mouthpieces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he
Vincent
was there. Vincent. He came up and visited with us afterwards. So you meet people like that, and you find out that, hey, they're great people. Fortunate that I'm an associate member from the industry of American Bandmasters Association. Well, you know, you see these names, directors of the Marine Band and the Army Band. And, well, your daughter plays in the Army Band. And you think, boy, you just can't speak to them. They are as common as you and I. They're just great people. In fact, here's a cute incident. I guess that's where I value music, too. You meet such nice people, and interesting things happen. This, when the Marine Band was through here, they did Meredith Wilson's A Music Man. They did that in concert out at ABA convention. And I was talking with their conductor afterwards, and the lady came up, and she says, oh, pardon me, but she said, I just want to tell you that was the finest arrangement of My Fair Lady I've ever heard. And he thanked her. Well, then when they came through here, I went to see the conductor before the concert. I said, have you had supper yet? Would you like to go out afterwards? And he said, well, why don't you come backstage afterwards and we'll decide what to do. And so that we did. And when I saw him, they did the Music Man again. So I said, John, I said, that's the nicest arrangement I've ever heard of My Fair Lady. He thought a minute, then he laughed. And we went out, not for supper, we had ice cream.
Yeah.
It's interesting what they like.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're just great people.
Yeah.
And it's helped from our store standpoint in that it gives us contacts with them in trying to locate music for people.
Well, I know that you were very much instrumental or involved in setting up and working with the clinic programs that North Spogo Companies always used to put on and still does. But they were of grand and glorious nature back when you and Nels were heading the thing.
It was fun. I tell you, working with Nels, well, I suppose the people are dead now, so it doesn't make any difference. But when I left DeVos, because they figured I was going to be a standard fixture there, I did too. And finally, until I finally made up my mind, I want to do something else. Well, anyway, then I came with Nels. People say, well, how come you left? And I said, well, the simplest way of putting it is, with Nels, I'm working with him instead of for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was fun to so-called run with it there. Didn't make a lot of money, but we sure had a great time.
Yeah.
And we hope, in fact, I know we've helped a lot of people. Nels personally helped a lot of them. They had trouble buying a horn, he would rather cut the profit down to zero to see that a child did have promise, and he wanted them to have a good horn. Because you know as well as I do that for a beginner almost, it's better that they have a better horn than when they learn how to play.
Yeah.
Because I've seen fellas pick up these tin whistles. In fact, a fellow from Grand Forks used to play in a band. I don't even remember his name, but he came in the store one time. We had these little toy tin whistles. Of course, he could play, and he played the trio strain, the Stars and Stripes Forever, pickle part on that. Well, he could have sold them by the carload.
Yeah, yeah.
No, as looking back, is there anything I'd trade? No, mm-hmm. Nothing at all.
I think one of the things that always impressed me with your work and Elsa's, particularly in relation to those clinics, as you think back of all the wonderful people that you brought in, the great bands and the soloists and the conductors and so on, and that combined with all the, you know, one of the bywords of the Nellis Vogel Music Company was the service.
Yeah.
And the great service that you folks
that's
provided.
From an industry standpoint, that's the only thing you've got to sell.
Yeah. But what it did, in my view, and a lot of times, Lloyd, was that it gave people the perception that the firm was so successful, in which it was, mm-hmm. but it also gave me the perception that everybody was making money like, you know, like everybody was as happy as a lark as far as the financial end of the thing. And I know, I've learned later, that the margins have not been that great, and that you have to be a very astute manager to make things
like
come out.
Like Nels put it, he said, I do my own typing. Oh, we did have a good stenographer, Rosie, mm-hmm. too. But we cut corners other places. Some of them we shouldn't have cut, but they were cut so that we could put on these performances, because they cost $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 to put on.
Yeah.
It's important to, like when you bring these groups in, like with Arthur Fiedler, how we got him, he knew Fred Fennell, and it's a word of mouth, hey, go on up there, they're really going to treat you nicely. And you have to spend money, so when they do come with the guest bands and so forth, if they treat you like a human being, plus you kind of roll out the red carpet for them.
Yeah.
And that word spreads fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, you may get them, you may not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you folks developed a real knack for that. And
I remember Arthur Fiedler, when we were over at Moorhead High, with all the directors there and the band playing, he's gotten around a lot.
You bet.
He had never seen anything like that in all his life. He said, I just don't believe it. He said, all these people here. I said, those are band directors that have come in to listen to new music. He said, I've never seen anything like this.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, I think it was an era that hopefully we'll recapture it here again.
And I know, the crowds that we had, you got involved in that heavily, that we touched a lot of people, really reached a lot of people with the language of music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Doc coming, of course, with a radio personality,
Doc Severinsen,
you would find... Oh, I imagine maybe if there were even 24 that came just to be in the same room with him. But most of them came to hear him and stayed through the whole performance.
You bet. Yeah. That was amazing.
And it was fun. It was a lot of work. But it's like doing anything well. When you're through, you've got satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like learning a piece of music. You can sight read the thing and get through it all right. But when you really put some time into it, like with your wife on hymns, all of us organs, we spend time for Sunday morning trying to enhance the hymns so that they have more meaning. I know sometimes the congregation wish we'd play it straight, but it's not to glory to the organist on the organ bench. It's to enhance the worship so that they'll, even changing the stops depending on what the text is.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what we're taught on these seminars, and at least we're doing what we think is right.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Lloyd, if I can change subject a little bit, do you feel that the Fargo-Moorhead community has, how do you, I mean, I would say, how can I state this, has the community, have there been certain elements of the community, for example, that may have influenced you more than others, and how have they influenced you? Are there certain aspects that come to mind?
Let's see. I think the community itself. You know, you travel around. Well, first of all, my job was here. That's probably the reason I stayed here.
Yeah.
But I'd had an offer for two other jobs. One would have been down in Evanston, Illinois, with a publisher. The other was with a store out in California. And the one in Evanston, Illinois, I wouldn't have been interested there. Well, a salesman was sitting next to me, and he who had worked with him. He said, "Lloyd," he said, "I'm old enough to be your granddad. And if I see you going with that firm," he said, "I won't let you." Mm. But the other one offered me to fly me out there. I said, "Well," he said, "just please come out and look at it." And I said, "Well, how long would it take me to drive from work to the store?" "Oh," he said, "you could easily make it 45 minutes to an hour." He said, "Right now," I said, "I can make it on a motorcycle in 5-10 minutes. And I thanked him, and I said, "It's always nice to be offered another job." But I said, at that time we were billing Olivet Church. That was new. I said, "I'm just starting with Nelson. I've got lots of things I want to do here. It's exciting." And I said, "Well, another thing, our relatives were all here. My mother was living, Dad were at Page." That entered into it. But as far as the community, I realized it more than I even did then. Maybe it was the job security at that time that made me choose this place. But this is where I was brought up. Now, when you travel around and see all these other places, it's fun to travel. But this area that we're in, right here in the Red River Valley, I think is one of the choice spots. Look at all the cultural activities that are going on. And you don't need to be a millionaire to attend them because there's so many free things.
Yeah.
And you can get to any of them within 10, 15 minutes.
That's a nice feature, isn't it?
And it's basically, as far as, it's still pretty safe, generally speaking, to walk the streets at night compared to Chicago or even Seattle, some of those places, or San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Each community has something to offer, but I guess everybody's got to be someplace, and I'm glad I'm here. I enjoy the winters. They say, "Well, aren't you going to be a snowbird?" We're northern snowbirds. And that's based, I guess, in part that my activities are here.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy doing it.
You don't feel that politics or anything like that has influenced your your art or your...
With my folks, I had a choice. My dad was on the railroad, so he was Democrat. My mother was a staunch Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So they always said, "Well, there's no sense of us going to vote because we're going to cancel each other's vote." But they did. No, politics, basically we lived in North Dakota most of our lives. And then with the store here in Minnesota, and we wanted to build in Minnesota, and our son wanted to get in the University of Minnesota Dental School. And all those things put together, we moved to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a beautiful area.
Lloyd, can I ask you a little bit more about the Fargo Theater and in your involvement there? I know that not only do you play there, but you are part of the American Theater...
American Theater Organ Society.
Society. Yep. And are you an officer in that group, too?
Yes. Well, there aren't that many to pick from.
How large an area does that cover?
Well, with the area...
Geographically.
Geographically, we pull from Minneapolis, Winnipeg... You know, when we have our silent movie nights.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as officers, we have 9 on our board.
The chapter, though, that's a local chapter?
The chapter is a local chapter. We met last night.
And how large is the geographical area of the chapter?
Oh, that will go. We have one of the lady organists out at Purley, Minnesota. Basically, Fargo, Moorhead. And maybe have another organist out at Lisbon, North Dakota, but that's about as far out as we
Okay. Uh-huh. Do most communities like Grand Forks or Sioux Falls have a theater?
No.
They don't?
Mm-hmm. Our theater, or the community, it's, I wish there's another name, but it's a, the Fargo Theater is a theater for the community. We don't want to call it community theater because there is a community theater.
Mm-hmm.
But between, we used to say between Chicago and Seattle, we're sort of a lone spot. Excuse me. And now with the World Theater, they've got an organ in that one in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But we are one of the few theaters, and I don't know, I think there are only about 3 theaters that have 2 organs in them. We have the mezzanine organ, which is the original one. We have the big one down in the pit.
You're talking about Fargo now.
Fargo
mm-hmm.
Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The Roxy Theater in New York City had 2 organs at one time. The Music Hall, Radio City Music Hall, has just the one big organ, although they have 2 consoles. And but it's a unique...
Mm-hmm. So there aren't that many chapters around, really.
No.
Huh?
Uh-huh. It's a big organization within itself, American Theater Organ Society. And the Fargo Theater, we had to incorporate. It's non-profit. And so the board that runs the Fargo Theater is the Fargo Theater Management Corporation.
You actually own that building, as I understand, don't you?
Right, we're in the process.
Yeah.
But the interior, the organ, the seats, the projectors, the curtains and all that, that belongs to the American Theater Organ Society. The Fargo Theater Management Corporation is in the process of owning the building.
I see.
And then we not only own that organ, but we own the organ in Weld Hall in Morehead State.
Oh.
That's our property
uh-huh.
there. And well, we've got the three organs that we own. But it's we'd like to get more people in it. Our dues each year is very high. It's $10.
Oh, yeah.
And your national dues is $25. But it's... I know when I used to attend the theaters and then the theater organs became silent, I just thought, oh, I wish somebody would start this up. Well, it's a going organization. And the one thing we've found nationwide, wherever you have a theater with live organ music, it tends to bring business back downtown.
Is that right? Well, I'm sure it would.
Now, with our Christmas concerts that are coming up, that's at noon, it's brown bagging,
mm-hmm.
and they'll run from 12:15 to 12:45, 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, we've made that an annual.
Yeah. And now this year we're asking, but it's not required, but we're requesting that they bring some canned food that
Great
we can
idea.
Use for the food pantry. Uh-huh. Several other places are doing the same thing.
Good idea.
But we've got so much to be thankful for, and none of us go hungry, and there are some people that do go hungry.
That's right.
That we're here to serve the community and to bring in pictures that others... theaters will not bring in, like our foreign films.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some real good foreign films. From our standpoint, we are non-profit, but that helps to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then our concession stand, that helps a lot,
yeah.
too.
What? How large is your chapter locally here? How many members?
We've got, those that belong to the national, there are 20 in that. In our local chapter, I think we've got about 20 in that.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And the wives come, too.
Yeah. Do you have a regular...
Would you like to join, sir?
Do you have a regular meeting date?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
It isn't
set
definitely, but we try to meet once a month.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, now the latest thing that I think is great is that we're setting up the Fargo Theater Endowment. Because that should bring in revenue where people would like to... They like to see it in an endowment where it will work.
Mm-hmm. An ongoing support.
And, all right, with our group, with, say, the seven officers that are on the board now, we're not going to be here forever, although we'd like to be, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But that will mean the continuance of the Fargo Theater.
That's great.
That's something that we've needed for a long time. Mm-hmm. Our newest board member that has the financial portfolio is the one that started us on that. We knew we should do it sometime, but we didn't know quite how to go about it. He knows the people to contact. He knows how to set it up. So I think that's going to be great. And then we can just use the interest off of that mm-hmm. or put it back into the endowment.
So right now you're looking for gifts for the endowment.
All right.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. In the theater itself now, and particularly the Fargo Theater, the organ and so on, I know that, I assume anyway, that you have also put in physical labor insofar as resurrecting that instrument.
Oh, yeah.
And as has members of all the members of the chapter, I would assume.
Most of them have been real good.
Yeah. And Lance Johnson has been very active in that. Who are some of the
yeah.
other people there?
Well, Lance pretty much takes care of the organ.
Uh-huh.
And Dave Knutson's manager of the theater. I can't remember. Rusty Castleton here at he's over at Concordia now, but he's a graduate of MS, I think.
Is he?
He's been active at ASU, has supported us with the loan of equipment until we can get our own equipment, like lighting for the stage.
Oh, yeah.
We put in a thrust stage when we dug the hole to enlarge the pit from a 6-man pit to a 40-man pit. One of the fraternities, sorry it wasn't the one I belonged to, but one of the others,
from SU.
For Hell Week, they came and helped us dig.
Mm-hmm.
And... companies, the stores, lumber companies, steel companies, paint companies, paper companies, everybody's pitched in. It is a community project. It
speaks well of the community in general.
It does. Yeah. I mean, there's another reason to live here, mm-hmm. I think, because they're interested in it.
Yeah.
And, like with our thrust stage that we've just finished now, with our last silent movie night, the dancers could come out there. and dance. And that added another dimension. Now, last night there's a party. They want to bring in the Broadway show at 42nd Street.
Oh, really?
And put it on there.
Is the theater capable of that?
Well, it's a small stage for that, yeah. But they think they can put it on.
Is that right?
We have to be sure we have 1,000-watt input now with lights.
Oh.
And we voted just last night. We're going to pick up a lighting board, which we badly needed. We've got the old rheostats, and some of those are burnt out. I think we talked about we're going to leave that there because it's historic.
Mm.
We'll disconnect it. But being computerized, we can pick one up for a total of about $2,000.
Really?
And that's where our money from our last theater show, that's where that's going. We've got working on grants. We have a lady that's working on grants for us. Our future plans are to enlarge the stage. We have to get a different exit, and then change the rope gallery. In fact, enlarge the stage so when you go off stage, you're not running into the steps going downstairs. Where mm-hmm. you've been there, you know what
yeah.
it's like.
Yeah.
That's in our plans. We're writing grants for that. We will eventually need new equipment upstairs in the booth. We wrote a grant for a new projection, new simplex, super simplex. Our turntables are about 20 years old.
Turntables?
Well, that's where they put all the show on one turntable.
Oh, you mean on the floor?
No, upstairs in the booth. And then your film is all placed on a large turntable, and it goes through the machine, and it comes back another turntable, just like a record player.
I see.
Only it's a huge record player.
Uh-huh.
So we're making improvements all the time. And, for example, I think it's the month of April, we'll not be running any movies on weekends because there are other things that are coming in.
Is that right?
And the schools are using it for concerts.
I understand they are.
They had the North High String Concert from Fargo.
Acoustics are really good for live performance,
fabulous.
Aren't they?
Yeah. You can stand on the stage and speak, and basically you don't need amplification.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Italiano was telling me when the kids walked in there, they looked up and they just couldn't believe it. Well, it's a theater. It's
North
atmosphere.
High school,
that's part of it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And compared to the high school gym, and
yeah.
you've done your share of playing in those situations.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, it's been a real addition, I think, to the community, the arts programs yeah. in general, and sure wish you luck.
It's a real gem for the Fargo Moorhead community.
You bet it is.
And it draws people in.
And the fact that it is unusual is another feather yeah. in our hat, because there aren't a lot of chapters around, as you've indicated.
No, there aren't.
Well, I'd like to wrap this up pretty soon here. Are there any other incidences or stories that you'd care to relate that might add to this little interview? Can you think of anything?
Oh, let's see. There should be a lot of stories.
I suppose.
With the Powers when I played there. It was enjoyable. I guess people, I don't know, I just feel they're more human around here. We are what we are, I guess, like Papa used to say. But people would come in and you'd know which piece they like because they'd send requests up. And so you'd play that automatically. That's even happened in church. We had two people, they're both gone now. But every Lenten season, she'd want me to play I Walk the Day Where Jesus Walked.
Oh, really?
It wasn't playing request programs, but I'd play that. And then another lady, Nora Edlund, she always wanted to play The Lost Chord one
oh, yeah.
time when she was in church. And I'd always do that. You can have a lot of fun with music, too.
Yeah, you sure can.
Once in
yeah.
a while, you camouflage happy birthday. If somebody in the choir has a birthday, you camouflage that a la box style.
Uh-huh.
And once in a while, somebody in the congregation will pick it up.
Mm-hmm. I remember my wife doing that was deep in the heart of Texas at,
yeah.
at some religious ceremony, or yeah. church service or what. I think it was a prelude for a church.
Yeah. But it's...
sacrilege.
As far as... music, what is it? Music has something to soothe the savage
yep.
beast.
Yeah.
Beast, and I think we're going to live longer because we are in music, because when you become frustrated on something, and that's normal living once in a while, you can take it out and sit down and practice. Practice Bach for an hour. That'll straighten
yeah.
you out.
That'll straighten most anybody out, wouldn't it?
And Well, when I studied with Paul Jay, he was an excellent teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If your lesson was prepared, a half-hour lesson could become 2 hours. If your lesson was not well prepared and you hadn't practiced that much, you were through in 5 minutes. He could spot it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting thing, though, where we had studied Bach, he keeps kidding me about it now that it isn't student-teacher relationship with two adults. And we were at a Marilyn Mason concert over in Trinity one time. And my wife and I sat in front of he and his wife. And Marilyn Mason was the organist, fabulous organist.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it was about the third Bach number she'd played. So Paul Jay leaned forward and he says, okay, what was I supposed to get out of that Bach number? Well, I said, I don't know, Paul, but there are 35 bricks from the ceiling down to the bottom of that proscenium arch, and there's 18 chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. He says, that's about what I got.
Well, Ray, thank you very much for your participation and willingness to be a part of this interview system, and we are indebted to you for
thank you. I might add, if this is going down for history, had a very pleasant surprise at North Dakota Music Educators. In fact, when I got the letter, I looked at the outside. I thought they got the inside in the wrong envelope. But I was elected, I don't know by whom, but to the North Dakota Music Educators Hall of Fame, which
hey,
was pretty nice.
Well, congratulations. When was that done?
That was at the Teachers Convention.
Just
this October.
This October.
Jack Troutwine was elected Teacher of the Year.
I see.
And there was myself and from the industry. And then these names, remember Virgil Severson, Lloyd Bella.
Oh, yeah.
And
familiar names.
Olaf Ringerud. And there's one other that we're all a bunch of old-timers.
Well, that's great. That's great. Couldn't happen to a more deserving person.
Thank you. It was a nice honor. You're kind of wonderful. Hey, why me? I just did my job. But I guess when down deep, if you're honest about it, I appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. And as I say, well deserved. Well, thank you, Lloyd. It's been a most pleasurable speaking with you.
And thank you for asking me.
You bet.